Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchel with Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. Tunisia, North Africa, the American Operation Torch, 1942, led to the liberation of North Africa, Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, Libya, on to Egypt. And that was the beginning of a relationship that extended into the 21st century and an event in Tunis, Tunisia, you'll all remember as the Arab Spring, when a street seller self-immolated because of persecution, perceived persecution. Here we are in 2022, and we turn to Sabina Henneberg of the Washington Institute, who's here to apprise us of the most recent presentation by Tunisia, President Kais Saied, and his rulings that lead to an election pending, especially an election where women are being either elbowed aside or the bar is being raised very high for their candidacy. Sabina, a very good evening to you. The president of Tunisia, in general, I would say he's giving out orders as opposed to consensus building. Is President Kais Saied a controversial figure in Tunisia? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thanks for having me. Yes, Saied, I would say Saied is a controversial figure. On July 25th, 2021, when he sort of launched a series of moves trying to overhaul Tunisia's system of governance, he had a pretty widespread support. But since then, there's been a big shift away from that support towards more skepticism, and I can talk about some of the reasons for that. Yeah, but these elections coming up are not looking likely to sort of bring back more optimism in Tunisia.
Yes, I'm especially taken by how he's, or the dictation of rules, have left women out. Was that purposeful?
Well, Saied is actually a very conservative ruler and has brought to Tunisia a lot of conservative values. So that probably the sort of exclusion of women from these electoral processes probably was sort of rooted in those values.
Malcolm, I have a question.
So maybe you could talk about the reasons why you had such a swift shift or shift over time in the attitude towards the president when there was so much excitement when he first got elected and it seemed very popular. And now the opposite seems to be true. And perhaps go into some of the causal factors that you alluded to.
Yeah, definitely. What Saied did in July of 2021, so a year and a half ago, was initially popular because when Tunisians had taken to the streets 10 years earlier in 2011 in the uprisings that overthrew the then dictator Ben Ali, they had two main demands, jobs and dignity. And even though in the intervening decade there was some gains, Tunisians saw some gains, like freedom of expression, and then especially the constitution that was adopted in 2014 was sort of celebrated for being very liberal and progressive. But successive governments over that decade never undertook the necessary economic reforms. And no new political class developed that was really sort of a refreshing, trustworthy replacement from the regime that had been in place before. And so by July 2021, these big problems of corruption and unemployment that had driven people to the streets 10 years earlier were still there. July 2021 was also the height of the COVID pandemic in Tunisia, which was very devastating for its economy and its health system. So it was in that environment that Syed said he was going to correct the course of the revolution and received broad support. But since then, people have not seen an improvement in their daily lives. Even though COVID has gotten better, this year in particular, extraordinarily high prices and shortages of basic goods like food and fuel and other commodities has made people even more disgruntled and frustrated. And one of the things that Syed has done has been to blame the Islamists in Tunisia, who had held the most seats in the parliament that he dismantled in July 2021. And the Islamists have been the target of a lot of anger for all of Tunisia's problems. But because Syed hasn't been able to deliver on anything in the last year and a half, even though people don't want to support the Islamists, they aren't sure whether to support Syed either.
Sabina, is there famine in Tunisia or across North Africa? Is that a driver for these protests?
Inflation, very high prices, shortages have been a problem. The shortages have come from, of course, the supply chain problems and the global economic crisis that has been building up since earlier this year. The government's indebtedness is also a reason it hasn't been able to pay for some of the basic imports. I don't think it's reached the point of famine yet, but it is getting quite desperate. And we see that in a lot of the out-migration that organizations that collect data on the levels of illegal migration across the Mediterranean to Europe are showing has really spiked over the last year.
So you would say that food insecurity is a driver for the human trafficking, for the migration to Europe. People don't have enough money to pay for the food, and they have no means to earn money. Is that correct?
I think that's correct, yeah. And I think politically, they're also just feeling increasingly hopeless. So those factors together are all driving that phenomenon.
Malcolm?
What do you think is likely to be to change after the election? Is it likely to have a parliament that's not representative? He appointed the commission, the election commission. The problems you just cited, the economic and the other social problems, are likely to continue. Do you see anything that will change? Often the hope is that an election will bring about some change, even if it's sometimes illusionary. Here, it doesn't even seem to be a prospect. Is there a danger that the military will take over? Is there a danger of others coming to power?
Yeah, as you said, I think a lot of observers and Tunisians worry that these elections are going to be largely meaningless, and they're not going to bring about much change because this new parliament that's going to be elected is pretty much guaranteed not to be representative because of the provision that you sort of alluded to, John, about eliminating gender parity. So in the previous electoral law, for example, there was an effort to make sure there was as high female representation as possible in the parliament. Now those provisions are gone. Other provisions in the electoral law sort of guarantee that it'll favor, for example, wealthier candidates over others. So not only are we looking at a parliament that's likely to be made up of people who probably support Syed and not necessarily representative of Tunisian society, it's also a weakened parliament, according to the new constitution that was adopted through the year and a half long roadmap that Syed has been spearheading. Even if he were to lose more support over the coming months, it's not clear what the alternative would be. You mentioned the possibility of the military stepping in. The military in Tunisia has traditionally played an apolitical role. But these days, because of some of the problems we've talked about already, hunger, people getting increasingly frustrated with the government not being able to deliver for them, are taking to the streets more. So there's some concern that if Syed sort of loses control of the chaos on the streets, that the military would need to step in. I think in that scenario, the uncertainty that he's introduced would just be prolonged. And that uncertainty is just looking likely to continue. It's really unclear what he will do.
Sabina Hannenberg of the Washington Institute commenting on the pending troubles in Tunisia, where the Arab Spring started in 2011. Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents. I'm John Bachelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus, terms and conditions apply.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right.